Today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Hey. First order of business is to finish up the Agaditas on Talmud Torah and about humility and how only a humble person can become a Talmud Chacham. And then we're going to get back into halachic gemaras. The daf begins with, it's halach lemais also that we have to be humble and learn a lot of Torah, but then we're going to get into the Hilchos Erevin topics that we're going to have a brisa that discusses how to draw the boundaries of cities that have different shapes, and the gemara is going to elaborate on each part of the brisa. That's pretty much Nun Hey Amud Aleph. The gemara then goes into some detail about a bow-shaped city and tries to understand a chiddush Rav Huna has in dealing with an empty space in the middle of a city, and the gemara quotes a brisa, gives a long list of the types of structures that can extend the border of a city, and another list of the types of structures that cannot extend the borders of a city. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to discuss several different types of living places that are not used for normal living. So we left off on daf Nun Dalid Amud Beis. We are up to the story of Rabbi Preda, about 8 lines before the end of the page. Rabbi Preda, one more thing. At the end of yesterday's daf, we mentioned the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat, of the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu taught to Aaron, and then came Elazar Yisamar, and then the Zakenim, and then all of Klal Yisrael, and I was taught 4 times. And we mentioned how the Rambam, and I come to the Pirush Mishnayos, emphasizes this Gemara. Someone sent me an email yesterday asking why is this different than what it says at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos? Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai Umesara Li Yoshua, that he gave it to Yoshua. Where's Yoshua in the mix over here? How come Yoshua is not included over here? So the Meiri suggests that lo niskar b'seder zeh halimud Yoshua shebevada Yoshua lo yazaz me'itzel Moshe v'rehoi shabimo kol arba pa'am shalomad. It doesn't mention Yoshua because of course he was there. Yoshua was always there. He was always right next to Moshe Rabbeinu. But that doesn't really help so much because that would just explain that he's there. But why isn't he mentioned in part of the Mesiras HaTorah? You would think that Moshe gave it to Yoshua. Then why didn't Yoshua play an active role at all in the Mesiras HaTorah? So that was a little bit difficult to understand. Rashi on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that there's a difference between the Mishnah and Avos and our Braisa. The Mishnah and Avos is dealing with Mesiras HaTorah. Our Braisa is talking about Limud HaTorah. Mesiras HaTorah was only Yoshua because of his special Maila that he was Meimis Atzma Minu Urav Ba'ohalei Chachma, that he spent so much time in the Beis Medrash and being Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu. So Yoshua was the one that was most of the Torah, and he was most of the Zakenim. But and that's a different Zakenim than the ones we're referring to here. Over here we're talking about Limud HaTorah, but Rashi doesn't explain what the difference is between Mesiras HaTorah and Limud HaTorah. Perhaps one can suggest that when it comes to Limud HaTorah, we're talking about the intellectual study of Torah. When we talk about Mesiras HaTorah, it's Pirkei Avos. We're talking about the Midos of Torah that a person picks up from a Rebbe. So Yeshua is most equipped in terms of the Midos of Torah, whereas the Mesiras HaTorah, the Limud HaTorah that we're emphasizing over here was done through Aaron, his children, the Zakenim, etc. Okay, so now the Gemara continues on the themes of Talmud Torah. Or pray to Avilei Ahu Talmida, Davatani Le Arba Mea Zimni. Or pray that a certain Talmud who he would have to teach him 400 times. He would have to teach him whatever it is that they would learn together. So typically this is understood as someone who had serious difficulties learning, that it took 400 times until he was able to learn. And you see how dedicated a Rebbe has to be, that he's got to teach him even 400 times, and how dedicated a Talmud has to be, that he can't give up after one time, two times, 10 times, 100 times, 399 times. He's got to keep on learning until he gets it. But on a different level, the Ein Elio suggests that the reason was dafka 400 times because Gemara says in Chagiga, Einu dom l'shona pirko mea pa'amim, l'shona pirko mea ve'achl pa'amim. So we see that 100 has a certain value to it, and that a person has a chiv to go over his learning at least 100 times. And the Torah is divided into 4 parts: pshat, remez, drash, and sod. So that's the parde. So maybe Reb Preda taught his Talmud from all the 4 angles of Torah: pshat, remez, drash, and sod. And each one he went over 100 times. But he taught him arba meizimni v'gamar yom echad b'yul l'milsa de mitzvah. So one day he had prayed that some mitzvah to go attend to, so he taught him the 400 times, but it didn't work. The guy wasn't getting it, he wasn't learning it. So he said, why are you not understanding it today? Normally at the 400th time you're good, why isn't it working? So once you told me that you have somewhere else to be, so I was the whole time I was thinking, oh, he's not going to stay, and I'm not going to be able to get it. So the pressure of having to get it right away, because I always think you're about to leave, caused my mind to not function at its maximum capacity, and that's why I'm not learning it. So Amalei, Havda Teich Va'asinlach. He says, okay, pay attention, I'm here, I'm with you right now, I'm not going anywhere right now. So pay attention, even though we learned it 400 times, we'll do it again. So Hadar Tanalei Dalamei Azimni Achrini. So then he taught it to him 400 other times. Nafka Bas Kala Va'amalei Nichlech De Lisulach Dalamei Ashni Odetisku At Vidarach Li Alma Da'asi. So Baskel came out and said, what would you prefer, Rabbi Preda? Would you prefer 400 more years of life, or would you prefer you and your entire generation to be Zocha Tilam Haba? Amar Dinisku Anav Vidarai La Alma Da'asi. He said, I'll take the second one. Me and my whole generation, Olam Haba, that sounds like a good deal. Amar Lein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tenu Lo Zu V'Zu. For making that choice, he gets both. He gets another 400 years of life, and he and his entire generation get Olam Haba. You see a lot of things that emerge from the story. One of the things that emerges from the story is how important it is that when a Talmud is learning, that he should feel he has the Rebbe's complete attention. If he feels that the Rebbe's attention is split, that the Rebbe is running somewhere and doesn't really have time for him, and even though very often he doesn't have time for him, but he at least has to act like he has time for him, so that will allow the Talmud to learn. If the Talmud gets the sense that he's wasting the Rebbe's time, so he's not going to be able to learn, he's not going to be able to gain as much from the Rebbe. Also, the Panim Yafos explains the reason that they added that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added years to his life is so that, meaning he spent so much time teaching. One could imagine that he probably could have accomplished a lot more in his own learning during that time that he spent teaching. So says the Panim Yafos, but that's the Yesod. Time that a person gives over to teaching Torah is never going to cost him in his own accomplishments in Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay him back for what he failed to accomplish on his own because he was busy teaching other people Torah. So Moda'a Rabba, says the Panim Yafos, for those Chachamim that try to lock themselves up and not teach anybody, that they're not going to accomplish any more by not teaching than they would by teaching. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva in Evin Ezer Chel Dal Simul Chavav Osdal, it brings a raya from the Maaseh of Rabbi Preda that every Chacham, no matter how big a Chacham he is, even though his learning is so important to him, has to spend time teaching other people Torah. Rav Moshe says, how much time does he have to spend teaching other people Torah? Mistama, it's like how much time a person has to spend doing chesed with other people. He says, Mistama, doing chesed with other people, how much time a person has to spend is similar to how much money a person has to spend on helping other people. Person makes money, he's supposed to spend 10% meiser ksafim in helping other people. So Mistama, you have the same thing with allocating time toward helping other people. Person wants to know, how much time does he have to spend on chesed? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain amount of time in this earth. So Mistama, 10% of the time, that's our chiyuv of helping others. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Gedola Mishnah, the sixth parak Pirkei Avos, Gedola Torah, Shenosenes Chayim La'oseha. So the Gemara Mesech Sanhedrin, Saditasim Beis, says that someone who's Melamed Ben Chavero Torah is Ki'ilu Asehu. It's as if he has made him. So Gedola Torah gives Chayim Le'oseha to those who are Oseha. What's Oseha? Teaching Ben Chavero Torah. So a person teaches somebody else Torah, he's Zocha to Chayim. So Tosav here raises the Kasha that the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, the top Tosav over here, Gemara says in the last parak of Megillah that they asked a whole bunch of different Tanaim and Amoraim how they were Zocha to Arichus Yamim, which is interesting because they understood that the Tanaim and Amoraim knew how they were Zocha Tarichus Yamim. One would have thought that, how would they know? They ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu why they were Zocha Tarichus Yamim. But they all had answers. They all had answers how they were Zocha Tarichus Yamim. So the Gemara over there says that Shalu Talmid of Rabbi Preda Ba Meha Rachta Yamim. What was it that you did to be Zocha Tarichus Yamim? So he said a few things. Miolam lo kadamni adam le Beis HaMedrash. I was always the first one of the Beis HaMedrash. V'lo birachti lifnei Kohen. I never made a bracha in front, before a Kohen. I never took an aliyah before the Kohen. V'lo achalti mebehema shlo hurmu matnoseha. and I didn't eat from a behemoth that the matnas kuna weren't given. So there's about being in the base medrash and respecting your kohanim. That was the basic yisodos of how he had arichus yamim. So it sounds from our gemara that he was zochat arichus yamim because he spent all this time teaching this Talmud, even after the Talmud didn't learn the first 400 times. So why does he say over there nothing to do with this? So Tos suggests a couple of answers. First of all, it could be that all of these things contributed to his arichus yamim, that the two stories are mashlim each other, that it's all true. And second, Tos says maybe Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tnu Lo Zu V'Zu wasn't said with a baskal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Beinu Levein Atzmo. He had no idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added 400 years to his life because of this. So they asked him B'Me Arach Yamim. So he said what he thought, meaning the Chachamim didn't know for sure what they were. It's what they attributed their Arichus Yamim to, but they didn't know what the real answer necessarily was. In the Gaon Yaakov, he says a different pshat. He says that the Maisa where the Talmidim asked him maybe happened before this Maisa. He was already old when this happened, so he was already Zochat Arichus Yamim, and they had asked him what he was Zochat Arichus Yamim, and he gave those answers. And then this happened, and he got another 400 years of life. So it just added to his Arichus Yamim. Okay, weiter. Amar Rav Chista, Ein Torah Niknas El B'Simanim. Torah is only Niknas B'Simanim. It's you need to make mnemonics in order to be able to remember Torah. Shnemar Sima B'Fiyim, B'Fiyim Al Tikri Sima El Simana. This is critical. We find all over Shas that Chazal are always giving Simanim for things. Now the Simanim that Chazal used may not be all that helpful to us in terms of remembering the Torah, but that means we always have to come up with our own Simanim. We have to come up with our own mnemonics for Torah. It's not only important to learn Torah, it's important to remember Torah. I was just reading a book recently that people think memory is something that you're born with. That a person has a good memory is something they were born with. All the studies show that memory is something that is acquired, and usually almost always by simanim. That if someone has a good structure where he can make to make mnemonics, they did a study of people who were told random digits, random numbers, and then they were tested on it a minute later how many of the numbers they remember. And there was one guy that was outperforming everybody by a lot, and he had an average IQ. And he when they did the same thing with letters, he couldn't do it, only with numbers. And they realized, they asked him, how did you do it? He said, well, I'm a marathon runner, so instead of just hearing single digits, I put it together as like times of running a marathon, running a 400-yard dash, running a this, and that way, in that context, I'm able to remember all these numbers. That's simanim. Person comes up with a simanim, and all of a sudden, superhuman memory. We're able to remember things. A person makes simanim la Torah, so he's able to remember Torah. Rav Melech Shechter used to say that he last night we were at the Ritz dinner, they honored Rav Shechter. Rav Melech Shechter is a chronicle of Rav Shechter's father. Used to say, he said, you think my son is such a genius that he remembers everything? He forgets a lot of things. He just Torah is so important to him that he remembers everything he ever learned, but he doesn't remember everything outside of Torah. He remembers everything he ever learned in Torah because that's what's so important. Person makes simanim the Torah. We have to work hard to try to figure out ways, a construct, to be able to remember Torah. Shamar of Tachlif Ma'arava Azalama Karmei de Rabbi Avos Rabbi Tachlifa Merava said this in front of Rabbi Avo. Amar Atun Mehasa Masnisula. You learn this from there. Anan Mehacha Masnisula. We have a different source for this idea of making Simanim Latara. Hatzivilach Tziyunim Similach Vigomer. Asu Tziyunim Latara. Tziyunim Latara is where we learn that you're supposed to make a mnemonic to remember Torah. Umay Mash Medai Tziyun Lishon Tzimanu. How do I know that's what the word Tziyun means? Dechsiv Rei Etzim Adam Ubana Etzlal Tziyun. That when you see an Etzim Adam, you build a marker somewhere. Way to mark off the Torah. Rav Lazar Mehecha Amar Lachach Machosiat Umodu Levina Tikra Asay Modaim LaTorah. So he has a different word that he uses to learn that you're supposed to make Simanim LaTorah. That it's Modaim LaTorah, something to help a person know Torah. The Ben Yoyada is an interesting vart. He says, why is it called Simanim, not Simin LaTorah? Why is it in the plural Simanim? So it's not really such a kasha until you hear his answer, because there are lots of parts of Torah, so you're going to need more than one mnemonic to remember everything. So he says, but he suggests a different answer. He says it says simanim lashon rabim because the Torah is nimshal lebasar. The Gemara darshins on the pasuk vilag harbe yigias basar, that anyone is hogabem is toim tam basar, is able to taste the delicious delicious taste of meat. And just like basar, there's a din of basar shenasali min ha'ayin, that if a person takes his attention away from basar, so he's not allowed to eat it unless it has shnei simanim, unless you have the vad tape on it and it's in a box, right? Yeah, it has to have shnei simanim in order for it to be for it not to be basar shenasali min ha'ayin. So he says the nature of Torah learning in this world, of our lives in this world, is that sometimes we have to be nesali min ha'ayin. The Torah is nesali min ha'ayin because we have to go and earn a living, we have to do other things during our day. So it's natural that it's going to be gone from us, it's going to be lost from us, it's going to be nishtakach, it's going to be forgotten. So we need to make simanim, we need to come up with a system of mnemonics, but it calls it simanim dafka to bring to mind the concept of basar shenasali min ha'ayin, that that's the only way that we're going to be able to retain it, even with all of the distractions that we have. Now, says the Gemara further, Rava Amar Asay Mo'adim LaTorah. Not Mo'dayim, but Mo'adim LaTorah. A person should make Mo'adim LaTorah. What does this mean? So Rashi says, it means, Kivu Itim L'Talmideichem Sheyedu Eis Lavav L'Shnos. That a person should have certain times that everyone knows that that's the time to come and hear the Shir. That's the time where there's going to be Torah in the Beis Medrash. That it shouldn't just be on a random schedule. It should be a very clear set schedule. Ben Yoyada says that Mo'adim, no, it means Hilchas Chag B'Chag, that a person should learn Hilchas Pesach B'Pesach, Hilchas Atzeres B'Atzeres. Learn in Yana Diyoma. It's not only about Yontif. The idea of Hilchas Chag B'Chag is that certainly in terms of Talmud Torah, when you learn the halachos of Pesach on Pesach, it's going to be more meaningful to you because it's what you're experiencing, it's what you're going through. But if you have other times of the year that you're going through other things, so learn about those things, that if a person sets up his learning of halacha in such a way that it relates to what's actually going on in his life, so then it's gonna enable him to learn Torah. According to the Ben Yoyada, it makes a lot of sense why this line is right over here. We're talking about shichas haTorah, how a person could avoid forgetting Torah, how a person is going to be able to remember Torah. So making simanim is one thing; making it practical is also a very critical key to helping to remember something. You could relate it to something that's happening in real life in real time. In the Iyah Hayam, he says that maybe it's the Milashan Oel Moed, that it's a makom that's ra'oi to be misva'id and meshchina, to meet with the, to have a meeting place between the Shechina and Klal Yisrael. V'no adati shama l'bnei Yisrael. So he says maybe asei mo'adim l'Torah means to have a place that's appropriate for learning Torah, that a person should have a set place that's appropriate for learning Torah, and that's going to aid in his ability to remember as well, because he'll be able to learn properly. Vayter in the Gemara, now we're up to today's daf. V'hainu damar avdimi barchama bardosa, maydik siv lo b'shamayim hi v'lo me'ever liyam hi. What does the pasuk mean when it says lo b'shamayim hi and lo me'ever liyam hi? So three possibilities. Lo b'shamayim hi, shemer shamayim hi, at the tzorech la'alos achreha, v'me'ever liyam hi, at the tzorech la'avor achreha. It's not b'shamayim, because even if it was b'shamayim, you'd have to go after it, and even if it was me'ever liyam, you'd have to chase after me'ever liyam. Rava amar lo b'shamayim hi lo timtza b'misha magbiya daito ala k'shamayim, v'lo timtza b'misha marchiv daito ala k'yam. Lo b'shamayim relates to what we discussed yesterday. You're not going to find Torah in a balgaiva. A person who's magbiya daito k'shamayim, a person who's marchiv daito k'yam, is not going to have Torah. Rabbi Yochanan amar lo b'shamayim hi lo timtza b'gasei ruach, lo me'ever liyam hi lo timtza lo b'sachronim v'lo b'tagronim. B'shamayim relates to gasei ruach, that relates to arrogant people, and me'ever liyam means that you're not going to find Torah by people who go around from city to city, salesmen who are always busy involved in their work. So again, a couple of things over here. What's the difference between people who are marchiv daito alea kiyam, people who are magbia alea kashamayim, and people who are stam gasei ruach? We just had three ways of saying balgaiva, no? It sounds like it's all the same. So what's the difference between these three forms of gaiva? So the Marsha explains in the Chidush HaGadol, magbia daito is someone whose daito gavav is savar sheinu tzarech lekabel Torah meirav. He thinks he doesn't need a Rebbe, that he could do it all on his own without having any connection to a Rebbe, without receiving Torah from a Rebbe. Our Torah happens with a Mesorah, and a person could study all he wants. Without a Mesorah, it's not going to work. Marchiv Daito is someone who's Mekabel Mirav, but he thinks that all he needs is the Kabbalah from the Rebbe, and therefore he doesn't need to Chazer. That as long as he has that connection, he has lots of pictures with that Gadol, he has that connection with that Rebbe, that he doesn't really need to do anything else. He doesn't need to put in his own Amelus and continue to learn and to work at the Torah. So that's another form of Gaiva. And the third form of Gaiva is Gasei Ruach means not only that he's a Baal Gaiva, but it's not only enough not to be a Baal Gaiva, a person has to be Shafel Be'enav, he has to be very lowly. That's the Gemara we had yesterday. Mesum Adam Atzmo Kemid Barzeh Shakal Doshen Bo Talmudu Miskayim Biyadav Vimla Vein Talmudu Miskayim Biyadav. That a person has to be extremely, extremely humble and not and allow himself to be trampled all over, allow himself to be treated like like someone who's not the most respected person in the world sometimes, in order to accomplish in Torah. There is an interesting comment. The She'iltos learns from this Memra that if your Rebbe is the Me'ever Liyam, that you have to move in order to learn Torah from your Rebbe. If your Rebbe moves far away, so you got to follow him. So Hamak She'ela, the Netziv, explains that even though the Gemara sounds like when it comes to Limud HaTorah, you're supposed to make Simanim V'Tachbulos in order to be Mekayim Torah, the She'iltos holds that Hu Adin to be Lomei Torah Me'rav, to learn Torah from a Rebbe, you have to Shimush Tamei Licham is an Iker Gadol Limud HaTorah, Aseh Lecha Rav, and you need to go even Me'ever Liyam. So it turns out the Chiv Limud HaTorah, you have to be Toreach yourself more than you would for any other mitzvah. By other mitzvahs, we don't say, well, if the only lulav is in a different country, you have to travel to go to that lulav. We assume that you don't have to generally do that. But dafka for Talmud Torah, you have to do that. The Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah doesn't quote the drush of Avdimi at all. He only quotes the drush of Rava, lo b'shamayimi, that it's not begase haruach. So the Netziv explains, maybe the Rambam holds that it's a machlokas over here, that not all these drushes not everybody agrees to all three of these drushes, the machlokas, and the Rambam doesn't paskin about me'ever liyam, that you'd have to go me'ever liyam. You wouldn't have to go me'ever liyam to go to your Rebbe. The Shiltos paskins like that drasha. The Rambam paskins and no, that it's about gase haruach. So he says the Netziv, there's another nafkamina between the Rambam and the Shiltos. Nafkamina number one is, you have to go me'ever liyam. That's pasha nafkamina. Another nafkamina between the Rambam and the Shiltos, the Gemara Masechet Bechora says that if a person doesn't find someone to teach him Torah for free, so he should pay somebody to teach him Torah. And the Rambam paskins this way in Perek Aleph Halacha Vav Hilchos Talmud Torah, but it doesn't say how much money you have to pay. What if all I have is a person, Hillel Azag, Tropic B'chol Yom, he makes a certain amount of money each and every day. Does he have to, and it costs half of that just to get into the Beis Medrash? So does, like the Gemara Numa says, does he have to spend half of it to get into the Beis Medrash? Does he have to spend all of it to get into the, where, how much do you have to spend? So if it's just like any other mitzvah, so then it would be Hamavazis, Alivazis, Yosem Chomesh. Spend 10%, between 10 and 20%, never spend more than 20%. But if you say that, no, Talmud Torah is different, like the She'iltos, that you have to matriach yourself more for Talmud Torah to even move Me'ever Liyam, so Mastami, you'd have to spend more money also. So that would be another nafkamina between the Rambam and the She'iltos, how much a person has to spend. Other Achronim argue, I think the Chavetz Chaim writes that the Rambam also would say you have to spend more than 20%. That Talmud Torah is not in the Cheshbon of Hamavazis, Alivazis, Yosem Chomesh. Talmud Torah is too fundamental to be in the Cheshbon of quantifying how much money a person has to spend for Talmud Torah in yeshiva tuitions. When they decide who's eligible for tuition assistance, so a lot of the yeshivas use that number of 20% of income. That if you're spending more than 20 to 25% of your income, then you're eligible for financial assistance. Okay, so I don't know if they did that based on this machlok shav and the shiltos, but that's how they do it sometimes. I saw a beautiful Lishma Bilimudim says, why is it that a Baal Gaiva is not going to be a Talmud Chacham? Why is it so important why is a Nivus such an important Midah for a Talmud Chacham? So he says, Be'emes, the Torah is so Kadosh that really doesn't belong in an Olam Hagashmi. It doesn't belong in a physical world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'makom Gilaso Shama Atamotze Anvasnuso, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his great Anivus was Morid the Torah down into this world and was Malbish the Torah in Gashmi, so that people could relate to it. But that's all the anivus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to bring it down, to bring the description of Hashem down to our level that we're able to understand it. So if that's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anivus, so then one who has that midah of anivus is able to have a shaykhus, is able to connect to the Torah. One who doesn't have that anivus is not able to connect to the Torah. So Gemara in Tainus, I mentioned yesterday about Torah being nimshal l'mayim, that it always goes to the lowest location. Okay, weiter now. Now we get back into Hilchos Erevin. Tanu Rabbanu, we have a brisa. Ketzad ma'abrin Tan Rabban, Ketzad Ma'abri Nesa'arim. How do we make, how are we Ma'abri a city? How do we draw the lines of, to make the 2,000 amos around the city, the boundaries of the city? So the Bryce is going to discuss six different shapes that a city could have, and how we measure the Tchum. Arucha Kamo Shehi, a rectangular city keeps its normal boundaries. Agula Osun Lazavios, a round city, we square off to add the corners and then measure 2,000 amos. Muruva'as, Enos Lazavios, a square city, it keeps its normal boundaries. We don't have to add any additional corners. It already has corners. If the city is narrow on one end and wider on the other end, we view it as if it's a perfect rectangle, not as if it's we rectangle it off, even though it gets narrower at one end of the rectangle. That if one or two houses stick out beyond the rest of the houses, so we draw a straight boundary line past the protruding house that runs perpendicular to the boundaries on either side, and that way it's included all in the same square of the city, and we measure 2,000 amos from there. Haisasuya kamin keshes, the last case of the brisa, if it was shaped like a rainbow, it's a bow-shaped city. O kamin gam, or it's shaped like a Greek letter gam. What's that letter? What's the shape of that letter? So it's like a chaf. It's three-sided letters. Rashi says gimel yevani. Also, kamin chaf kafufa shalanu. It's a Greek gimel which is made like a chaf kafufa. So rona sekilu milei batim vechatzeros. We view the whole empty space in the middle as if it's filled in with houses, and then we measure 2,000 amos from there. There is an interesting discussion about the Gemara's usage of kamin gam in the Rabbeinu Manoach in Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Beis. Rabbeinu Manoach says by sukkah, it also talks about a sukkah that's made kamin gam. And he says, why do they say kamin gam? Why don't they just say kamin chaf? Why not just say like chaf? So in Be'er Sheva, he says, because a gam is not exactly a chaf. It's shaped like a chaf, but a chaf has a wide top and a wide bottom and a very narrow side. Whereas if you look in the Sefer Torah, whereas the gam is the opposite. It has a narrow top, a narrow bottom, and a wide side. So it's not exactly the same as a chaf, so it's a more accurate description for whatever reason when it describes as gam. Rabbeinu Manoach says no. The reason they use kamin gam is because it's inappropriate to use lashon hakodesh to describe dvarim shel chol. We don't use lashon hakodesh is too holy to mess around with it by saying yeah it's shaped like this letter when we're trying to describe something else. When we're trying to describe something chol, you wouldn't use lashon hakodesh for something like that. So in the Ayelos Hashachar, he just raises the kasha. He says we're not using it for chol. We're using it to describe a sugya and erevin. We're using it to describe a sukkah. That's kodesh. Why isn't that kodesh? Why would that be a problem? So they relate this to the comment of the Taz in Yeridei and some Resh Pei Beis of Sukkot Yud Gimel. Taz writes that it's usher to put a sefer underneath another sefer to prop it up, to use a sefer just as a prop to lift up another sefer. Magen Avraham in Kufran Dal Tzivkan Yadal says that it's not us, or Mishabur Pasan is Magen Avraham, that you're allowed to do that, but that's what the Taz writes. So according to the Taz, apparently, even when you're using it with Tzorech Kodesh, but it's not its use, you're using it to help out with something else that's Kodesh, that's still called that it's like you're using it for Chol. The problem with this idea of the Rabbeinu Manoach is if you look in the Rambam, not in Hilchos Sukkah, but in Hilchos Shcheinim, Perek Tes Halacha Tes, the Rambam writes, Reuven Shahayek Solo Samach Lekosel Shimon Kamin Gam. Let's say Reuven and Shimon have walls near each other like a gam. Ubar Reuven Lasos Kosel Sheni Kanet Kosel Shimon, and then Reuven wants to make another wall, Achi Yasar Shoshik Solon Kamin Beis. And then he wants to make another wall to shape it like a beis. So the Rabbeinu Manoach said, you can't use letters of the alphabet, that's why we use Kamin Gam, because he wouldn't use letters of the Aleph Beis. The Rambam uses Beis, and he uses Gam, he does use the Greek letter, but he uses Beis also, so that's a little bit of a difficult kasha on the Rabbeinu Manoach, unless there is no Greek letter that lines up to Beis, so they had no choice, the Rambam had no choice, he had to use Beis. Okay, so now the Gemara goes through each of the six halachos we just mentioned in this brisa. Amar Mar, Arucha Kamo Shehi, Pshita. So the first thing we said is that a rectangular city keeps its normal boundaries. Of course it does. Why wouldn't it keep its normal boundaries? Lo Tzricha Daricha Vekatina. No, the point is that it's rectangular. It's not a perfect square. Ma'od Detem Elitin Lapusya Aurcha Kamash Malan. I might have thought that it has to be a perfect square. So Kamash Malan, that it doesn't have to be a perfect square. Rectangle, you could also keep it as a rectangle and measure 2,000 amos outside of the rectangle. Meruva'as Enos Nozavios, Pshita. We then said the third halach, we skipped the second halacha, because that's clear what the chiddush is, that you take a round city, you draw a square around it. But the third halacha, that you have a square city, that we don't have to square off a square city because it's already squared. So isn't that obvious? So it's a square, but it's not perfectly aligned with the directions of the world, with north, south, east, west. So I might have thought that when we square off a city, we have to square it off in a way where the sides are perfectly due north, south, east, and west. So ma'adim l'rava b'ribua olam kamash v'lam. No, you don't have to do that. Hayibayis achad yotze k'min pagum, al shnei batim yotzem k'min shnei pagumin. The next halacha, we said, well, the fifth halacha at least, we said in the Braisa, that if one house or two houses protrude from the city, so we measure the square around those houses. So it says, hashtabayis achad amrit, shnei batim yibayi. If for one house we're willing to extend the city's borders, so isn't it obvious that for two houses we'd be willing to extend the city's borders? Why does the Braisa have to mention the example of two houses? So lo tzricha mishtei ruchos. It's even if the two houses are on two different sides of the city, so we're extending the city all over the place for one house on each side. I might have thought we'd do this in one direction, but not in two directions. So kamash melan, we do it even in two directions. What if it was a bow-shaped city? So so the Braisa said we fill in the empty area, we view it as if it's totally filled in, and then we measure the 2,000 amos. If you have a bow-shaped city, from one end of the bow to the other end of the bow is less than 4,000 amos, so then we measure from the yeser, we measure from the extra filled-in part. But otherwise, we'd have to measure from the actual bow itself, from the actual populated area, not the area that we're filling in. So Miyama Rav Huna Hachi, does Rav Huna really say this? Vam Rav Huna, Chomas Yir Shenifritza B'meya V'Arboim V'Achas U'Shlish, that the wall of a city, Rav Huna says, is measured by 141 and a third amos. The city would only share a single tchum. The two sides of a city, if the city is split into two, the two sides of the city would only count as a single tchum, a single city with one tchum, if it's separated by less than 141 and a third amos, not 4,000 amos. So how come by the bow-shaped city, Rav Huna says, you get up until 4,000 amos from one end of the bow to the other end of the bow. In a split city, he says you only get 141 and a third amos. So Amar Abba Barula Lokasha, Kan Beruach Achas, Kan Mishtei Ruchos. He says there's a big difference. The limit of the gap of 141 and a third amos is when the two parts are completely severed from each other, completely separated. There's nothing connecting them. But over here by the bow-shaped city, they're connected along the edge of the bow. They're just not connected at the other end. So Miruach Achas, they're still connected. They're just not connected across straight line at the ends. So that's why we get more space in order to for them to be considered one city for the Tchum. Okay, but what was Rav Huna teaching me with the two cities that are completely split? Yeah, you have 141 and a third amos between the cities for them to be considered connected. So he's just telling me that each one gets its own karpef. A karpef is 70 and two-thirds amos, 141 and a third amos. Together, you get between the two cities. But Ha'amar Rav Huna Chadazimna, Rav Huna already taught us that halacha. Zitran, we have a mission. Nosin karpef li'ir, divrem meir, v'cham momrim, lo'amar karpef, elu bin shtei ayaros. Cham say that karpef is a din that extend, that connects two cities to each other. V'itma Rav Huna amar karpef l'zu, v'karpef l'zu. And Rav Huna says, yeah, it connects two cities to each other. If each city, if the two cities are, if the two karpefos of each city overlap with each other, they're connected. V'chibarav says, no, they have to be within 70 and two-thirds amos of each other. But bottom line is, Rav Huna already taught us that they need to be within 141 and a third amos of each other. Why does he have to tell me again? So tzricha, diash min hacha mishum davalei tzad hetu me'ekara, avalas me'malav. Had he only told me over here, I would say, yeah, because the city used to be all connected. But over there, the city was never connected. I would think that you don't get that much space. Diash min hacha mishum d'dechika tash mishtayu, aval hacha d'lo d'chika tash mishtayu e'malav. Over there, it's difficult for the two cities to use each other because they're so split from each other. But over here, they were initially together, and therefore there's reason to assume that they would be that it's easier to view them as one city. So tzricha. Therefore, I need to be told in both cases that you get 141 and a third amos. The kama have been yeser. Now the Gemara raises a different question. How much space does it, can there be between the where it curves, the city curves to the end of where the bowstring would be, from the bow to the bowstring? Is there an unlimited amount of space? What if it's arched like in a very with a very long arch where the end of the bow to the bowstring is going to be very far? So Rabbi Rav Huna Amar al Paim Amma, 2,000 Amas. Rav Breid the Rabbi Rav Huna Amar Afil Yesu Me al Paim Amma, even if more than 2,000 Amas. Meaning the question we. Do we view a bow-shaped city as if the center is filled in, even if the middle of the bow and the place where the bow string would be are more than 2,000 amos from each other? That's the machlokas. Amar Rabbi, kavasei d'Rav Breid d'Rav Bar Rav Huna mistavra. I think Rav Breid d'Rav Bar Rav Huna is correct. Because if you want to go to any location within the city, you can go through the arch. You don't have to go through the middle where it's the empty space. So you can walk through the arch. So therefore, since it's easy to walk through the bow string through the bow itself, that you get more than 2,000 amos. So the Mishnah had said that if there are ruins that are 10 tefachim high, they can extend the boundary of a city. So says the Gemara, my gedodios, what are gedodios? I'm revido sholosh mechitos shein alei antikra. It means a place that has three walls and no roof. That's enough to extend the boundary of a city. So you buy lush. What if there are only two walls, but there's a roof? So would that be enough of a structure to extend the border of a city? So Tashma. So we're going to bring a brisa that gives us a whole list of things, of structures that can, and a list of structures that cannot extend the border of a city. And from this brisa, we're going to try to bring a raya. What if you have two mechitzos and a tikra? So the brisa tells us, Elishim is Tashma, Elishim is Abrima, Nefesh Yesh Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos, a place made over a kever that's 4x4 Amos, Vageshar Vakever Sheesh Ben Beis Dira, a bridge or a Beis HaKvaros that has a house in a shul that has a place to an apartment for the person, the caretaker of the shul, a base of Zara that has a place for the priests to live, aravos, stables, saros and silos shabasados out in the fields, yesh ben beis dira, provided that they have a beis dira, and the huts that are in them, and a house that's in the sea. All of these things extend the border of the city. The following do not extend the border of a city. A thing built over a kever that's open on two sides. A bridge or a beis hakvaros doesn't have a beis dira. Beis haknesses shein beis dira lechazan. A shul doesn't have an apartment for the chazan. Beis avos chavim shein beis dira lekomrim. Va'aravos va'otzar shabasot shein beis dira. All these structures that don't have a beis dira. Ubar v'siach and a house that's on a boat, all of these things do not extend the border of a city. A birdhouse, all these things. Katani mias, but what is it? On the list we mentioned nefesh shenifritza mishtei ruchasea eilach ve'eilach. My love dika tikra says that if you have a structure built over a kever that only has two walls, it does not count as a structure that extends the city. It doesn't. Isn't it talking about that it has a roof over it and still doesn't extend? So that answers our question. What if you have two walls and roof? Does it extend the city? So lo dileka tikra. Maybe that's somewhere where it doesn't have a roof over it, doesn't have a ceiling, and that's why it doesn't extend it. Bayis shabiyam lemay chazi. What do you use a bayis shabiyam for? A house on the sea. So Rav Papa bayis shasu lefanos bokelim shabesvina. Rav Papa explains refers to the building that the kelim of a ship are kept in when they're emptied from the ship, and that's significant enough to extend the city. Umaara in misaberesima, a cave is not misaber, doesn't extend the city. Vatani Rav Chia maara misaberesima, but didn't Rav Chia teach that it does extend the city? Amar Abayi b'shiyesh binyan al pia. We're talking about a cave that has a building right at the mouth of the cave, right at the entrance. V'tevklei mishum binyan gufei. But then shouldn't the city be extended because of that binyan? Forget about the cave. So says Amar lo tzrich lahashlim. Now the binyan itself is not 4x4 amos. You need the space of the cave to be mashed in the shear of 4x4 amos. So then, together, the binyan and the cave extend the city. People who live in huts, we mentioned this Gemara the other day, they don't measure around their whole village of huts 2,000 amos. They have to measure just from the doorway to their hut, because a city of huts is not called a city. Masrav chista, too temporary in nature. Masrav chista, v'yachna liyardin mi beis hayishimos, v'amara barbachana ledi chaz that when they would go to the bathroom in the midbar, they would go lachareihen, which implies that they had a tchum within which to walk, that they didn't have to measure just from the doorways of their huts, even though it was a travel. traveling encampments. So l'chora, it would be considered only temporary. Shouldn't have a tchum. Amalei Rav, digle midbar kamrit, kibin d'chsubu al pi Hashem yachm, al pi Hashem yisu, kaman d'kaviyaluhu dami. He can't bring a ride from digle midbar. Hashem decided when they travel, and therefore that's considered more kavua, because it was determined by the Ribbon Shalom. Amrav chine barav kan amrav ashi, im yesham sholosh chaseru shal shnei batim hukvu. Even if people live in huts, but there are three chaserus, each with two houses, then it becomes kavua, like a city. Amrav idam rav, yoshri tzrifin v'holchim midbaros, chayenen m'chayim nashen v'neinen shalahen. People who live in huts and people who travel in deserts, their lives aren't worth living, and their children aren't really their own children. Tani nam yachi, elezrish birya omer, yoshri tzrifin ki yoshri kvarim. It's like living in a grave. Al benoseinu omer, or shokhivim kol behema. And about their daughters, it's like sleeping with a behema. My time, ula omer shenlin merchatzos. Ula says, because they don't have bathhouses that people are able to go to. Rabbi Yochanan Reisham Argishin Zelazeh Bitvila, because they know when people are going out to the mikvah. So either the men have to travel to the bathhouses or the women have to travel to a mikvah. So it leaves the women alone. That's the point. And therefore they're vulnerable to bad men violating them. And that's, and you don't know whose children are whose. So my binayu, ika binayu, nara de samach lebesa. Nafkamina would be if you have a river near the house. So the river is roi litvila, says Rashi, but it's not roi for a merchatz. It's not roi for a bathhouse. So that would be the nafkamina, what the reason is. Okay, we'll stop there. Bezeshem, we'll pick up from Amar Rav Huna tomorrow.